Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
Greetings and welcome inside. Happy Monday, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
What's going on, man?
Do we have some kind of day. Look, there's no NBA games tonight, but it doesn't matter. We got huge news from the NFL, Major League Baseball, and maybe the biggest news of all, Mike Harmon. I predicted the Hawks to go to the East Finals beginning of the season. I predicted the Bucks to go to the NBA Finals. I also predicted Hawks-Bucks in the East Finals before the season started. So I just want to make sure that, you know, people understand that I made these predictions and I made these selections and they're happening. It's all happening right now. So I want to make sure people understand that because, you know, maybe they don't know. You know, maybe you're just listening to the show for the first time, which is the only way you don't know that I did that. Because, you know, I mentioned it once in a while. But I wanted to make sure that we started off on the right note by, boy, look at the NBA. Look at what we told you before the season was going to start for the NBA. Could have fast-forwarded all the way through the Eastern Conference, although then we would have missed the rise of the Knicks. But we could have fast-forwarded through all of this stuff to get to Hawks Bucks, and boom, here's where we are.
What rise of the Knicks are you talking about? They got to the playoffs, right. And then they got
they
bounced.
Rose. They rose from
final.
The standings. They rose from the bottom of the
okay,
East
they were,
to
they
the
were
middle
dead.
Of the East.
That they were dead, the rise and now of the Knicks. We've got a little bit of a faint line. That blip, zap them again.
It's okay. It still was a rise.
Look, as for the rest of the predictions, I would be remiss if I didn't point out the fact that you dumped them on the side of the road like so many horror movies throughout the season.
When did I dump them on the side
of the
road?
Are you kidding me? We could find audio of you trashing Giannis Middleton.
We have
Budenholzer was fired 10 days ago. All of it. You hated them. You kicked them to the curb and said, you're out. Out.
We have difficult conversations on the show, and sometimes they're difficult for people. They are.
And sometimes, you know, your emotions get the best of you. And the predictions that you made last week have been put in a box.
Yeah, but I told you the Hawks in the East Finals in December, and I said they're going to play the
predicted,
Bucks.
Yeah, but if you had predicted that they'd fire the coach, Nate McMillan would come in and be a genius that unleashed this Trae Young. Then,
buddy,
I'll give you credit. The crystal ball only had part of it.
But, buddy, everything I said the Hawks are going to be middle of the pack in the regular season. Their firepower is going to really force them to catch fire. They're the Heat of last year. They're going to be in the East Finals. And I said, Hawks, but I mean, I don't know what else to say, buddy. I mean, look, this is rivaling my Aaron Rodgers in terms of, hey, here's predictions from like a year ago that are coming true already.
Yeah,
I mean,
but your end game's going to be wrong, so it's not going to matter.
Well, how do you know what my end game's going to be? You don't know what the end game is.
I'm just telling you. I got a crystal ball, too, that I'm shaking.
I got the Infinity Glove, man. I got more stones.
Don't you know? Those stones have been destroyed, man. Now they're like candy in the top shelf of a TVA officer's. Look, if you haven't seen episode one by now, you suck, and you didn't care to watch it.
We use these things as paperweights up here. Oh, okay. That's great. All right.
Just saying. You've had no interest in seeing it. It's been 2 weeks. Yeah.
But listen, and don't forget about my Clippers, who I'm a little nervous for, let's be quite honest, after losing to the Suns.
Another team.
Because I told you the Clippers, Clippers and the Bucks are my official picks. Fox, we picked before the playoffs began. All of us picked, you and me and Colin and Dan and everybody else. We all picked, and I picked Clippers-Bucks. Right?
And I was the bold guy that went out, right, and I got blowed up. So it's
You know what? You put too much confidence in Nikola Jokic.
Well, I also didn't pick Chalk, so it's okay.
No, that's all right. But, buddy, look, so that was there. And then when you throw it in with my Hawks prediction from December, I could have saved somebody so much trouble. Just fast forwarded. What's going to happen, Jason? Well, in the East, here's what's going to happen.
Yeah, but if you have if you really do have the Biff Tannen almanac, you should be betting your ass off and being rich beyond your wildest dreams to wear the stones from the Infinity Gauntlet. You can actually find real gemstones to put in there. Man, what's he got? He's got a gauntlet that's worth $3 million sitting there. It's real gold. And it was made by Peter Dinklage.
Remember, I also told you that Thibodeau was going to be coach of the year in the East, and he was. I mean,
that was your fandom. Yeah, but we also have to acknowledge the fact that if you win an award, bad things happen to you. Because Nikola Jokic, 4 straight gone. Donovan Mitchell with his buddies Rudy Gobert and Jordan Clarkson. Didn't quite work out for them either.
No, it didn't. But it doesn't matter because I didn't pick the Jazz. So
no, that's
okay.
Right.
I picked the Clippers. I picked Clippers-Bucks NBA Finals, and I put the Hawks in the East Finals. Buddy, I'm playing with found money, man. I'm walking around Vegas right now like I'm Danny Ocean going, I got everything going on.
Yeah, but you didn't win anything off it.
How do you know I didn't? How do you know I didn't buy another house today because of that?
I'm going to refuse to comment on that because I don't know that. If you made that much money, we would never see you again. That would have been the end of you.
How are you paying for this house in cash? Well, let me tell you. Before the season began in the NBA, I predicted that the Hawks were going to be in the East Finals. I laid a little bit of money down on it. You know, a little offshore accounts. And now.
Now the tax man's coming for you. Otherwise, you're going to have to see how well you can connect your wrists behind your back.
I've already paid all my taxes. I paid preemptive taxes on this. I actually went to the government and said, listen, if this comes through for me, it's a big deal. And the government actually said to me, if this comes true, we're not going to take any money from you. Okay, so it's free and clear for me. It's one of those new tax laws that's in there. You know, if you go to the government with a real bold prediction way to make money and they say to you, we're gonna let you go on that, you don't have to pay taxes. I think that's how it works.
You know, right now you might be able to get that approved.
I took an HR block class. Twitter and I'm out of Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harbin. So, yes, we have a lot of NBA to get to because we already know who's not playing in game two of the Suns Clippers tomorrow. But clearly today, a huge day, not only in sports, in humanity, as Carl Nassib, defensive lineman of the Las Vegas Raiders, who has been in the league for a while now, he's in the middle of a 3-year, $34 million contract, put this posting on social media earlier today on Instagram. He has become the first active NFL player to come out as gay.
What's up, people? I'm Carl Nassib. I'm at my house here in Westchester, Pennsylvania. Just want to take a quick moment to say that I'm gay. I've been meaning to do this for a while now, but I finally feel comfortable enough to get it off my chest. I really have the best life. I got the best family, friends, and job a guy could ask for. I'm a pretty private person, so I hope you guys know that I'm really not doing this for attention. I just think that representation and visibility are so important. I actually hope that like one day videos like this and the whole coming out process are just not necessary. But until then, you know, I'm going to do my best and do my part to cultivate a culture that's accepting, that's compassionate, and I'm going to start by donating $100,000 to the Trevor Project. They're an incredible organization. They're the number one suicide prevention service for LGBTQ youth in America, and they're truly doing incredible things, and I'm very excited to be a part of it, to help in any way that I can, and I'm really pumped to see what the future holds. That's all I have for you guys. I hope you have a great day. Work hard.
All right, there it is. That's all I have for you. That's a lot. That put on social media earlier today, and it is the number one story on the planet. And, you know, he says a lot of wonderful things in there. You know, the money donating to the Trevor Project, which is great, and I'm hopeful that other teams, you know, the Raiders will all match the donation of some kind because it's a great thing that they do. But you know what he said that really rings true, and I think it's going to come sooner than later, is he said, I look forward to the day when announcements like this aren't necessary, where it's just something that happens and we deal with it and we move on. And I'm telling you, we are really close to that happening. Because generally now, look, we talked about this with Michael Sam 7 years ago when he tried to become the first active player in the National Football League. He got drafted. He never made a team. He bounced around a little bit, and his story kind of ended. Even though Michael Sam didn't make it, right? What's the big line from Moneyball that John Henry tells Billy Bean? First guy through the wall always gets bloody. Right, like when you're trying to break the mold on something, when you're trying to come out and be something, do something revolutionary, you're going to get a lot of stones thrown at you. You're going to get a lot of arrows going your way, and all kinds of things, and people getting upset, and people calling you out. And it becomes a difficult thing. It's very difficult to do that. But because of that, we were able to see the landscape in sports and see that, okay, we understand that maybe it's the older generation that work in the National Football League that didn't want to see Michael Sam make it, and the players really didn't care. And already you're seeing players tweet messages of support for NASA. Saquon Barkley right away today, hey, got you, bro. You know, great stuff from him. And now we're going to get there because, yes, generally the players now, in the end, they don't care. Kids coming up now, Generation Z, they don't care what sex somebody is. They don't care who you like. They don't. They could give a crap about that. Are you a good person? Are you going to steal from me? Are you going to treat me good? Are you going to do all these things? They don't care about your sex. They don't give a crap about that. No one cares. But it's the older, the upper echelon of the NFL, people who have been in the league for a long time that have certain viewpoints and how they think about homosexuality, where it's, well, we don't want this guy in the team. But you know what? Michael Sam went through that. And now, after we've had that, now here comes Carl Nassib, and it's going to be impossible to blow it off or try to figure it out because he's already an active player. He's playing for the Raiders. The Raiders put out a statement of support for him already. Mark Davis already put out a statement of support for him saying, nothing's changed what I thought of the guy before this happened. This is going to happen, and it's going to be easier. And I look back today because, you know, we talk a little bit about Michael Sam, but boy, without him doing that and understanding that, okay, here's the landscape now, and maybe the NFL isn't really ready, but we saw what we needed to do. And now here's Carl Nassib with this, and there's been no outpouring of, I can't believe this. There's been no people on social media, no NFL players like there were with Michael Sam going, oh my goodness, what's this all about? There hasn't been any of that. And so it was Michael Sam's the guy that broke through. And now, yes, 7 short years later, but it still is, you know, still is in this window of everybody remembers Michael Sam. Now Carl Nassib does it, and he's going to play this year, and we're going to follow his career. And even if you didn't know who he was, you know who he is now. Anything that happens, we're going to know about. It's documented. And then another player is going to feel good about it. Another player is going to come out as gay, and another one, another. And it's going to happen pretty quickly. And I love the fact that I think that's where we are now in the United States, that this story can come out and Carl Nassib's going to wind up being right, that eventually, and it's going to be very, very soon, people aren't going to care about what sex a guy is in sports. They just go out and play. Yeah, he's great and he's a teammate and I love him and we're going on and we're trying to win a championship. We are really, really close to that, and this is a huge, huge day for that.
7 years is a long time. I mean, look how much the world's changed in 18 to 24 months. Pandemic and socially, so many conversations that were buried are at the forefront. And this being one, as we're in the midst of Pride Month, iHeartRadio, you know, and you'll hear the promos and all the different levels of support and reaching out and everybody in their communities. It's a big, big day. You mentioned Saquon Barkley, J.J. Watt, and that was one of the things that I think after the initial Nassib video came out was, all right, where are the stars, right? Everybody was like, all right, I want to see a couple of stars. And immediately, you know, two of the biggest at their respective positions, a guy who's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer chimes in. And, you know, it's just that level of acceptance. And again, where we're at in society, it's not eradicated completely. We know that. And attitudes are still changing. But the younger generations, they recognize there's who cares if you can, who you love and what you do in your life, is as long as you're a good person. And in this case, for the football side of it, you can play, and he's proven he can play, right? Because that was the other thing with Michael Sam was he going to make it and whatever else, and all of that was a secondary story that was swirling about in terms of him trying to get into the league. And I hope he recognizes the value and importance of what he did those years ago. It's certainly not lost on all of us that were in the media and who covered it at the time. You know, obviously not 100% acceptance. We remember the loud, outspoken folks of yesteryear, I guess would be the way to put it. Because, look, go and perform and be yourself, right? That's the golden rule to all of this. Go and be yourself and live your life authentically. And as you do, more will feel comfortable within the league, within the NBA, within, I mean, we had this long past in the WNBA and in women's soccer, and now perhaps more people that are trying to live double lives will realize maybe they don't have to anymore. Such a huge day. Great message, and I'm glad the outspoken pouring of support was there, as well as a note from the NFL themselves, who sometimes aren't so quick to put out press releases.
Right, because you want to wait. Which way is the wind blowing on this? And that was the whole thing with Michael Sam, right? Was, hey, which way is the wind blowing? Where are we going? And it was okay, even 7 years ago, for people who didn't like gay players in sports to kind of hide behind something and go, yeah, I don't know. And you saw how Michael Sam never really got a chance to play in the league. It was very difficult. You guys, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, he gets drafted in the 7th round. So that tells you something. But now that we're looking at the 7 years later, it's okay. So if you really don't like this, we're going to find out, right? There's nothing that's still a secret or come out. So, oh, we're going to hide behind this. If there's people that don't like, we're going to find out who they are. And then the discussion's going to continue on to go. And I'm hopeful that people can get educated on that, that it really doesn't matter what sex you are or what sex you're interested in. It really doesn't. And because we had that moment and it's been 7 years to get used to it. You mentioned the 7 years. When you have years to get used to an idea, okay. You realize that, all right, well, we saw it break down and we saw the world is still standing. We're still spinning. Everything is okay. Hey, you know, if a player wants to come out as gay now, it's going to be a little bit easier. And the next guy will be easier. And the next guy and the next guy and the next guy. And I mean, we're going to get there. I think we're going to be true with that.
Yeah, I think just the other thing to remember, though, is that, you know, the locker room, you may still have some holdovers. There may still be some reticence and conversations that are held within there that never see the light of day. But maybe it's that point, just like everything else in our society, that we're at least having some discussions that maybe we wouldn't have had before.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
You know, we spent a lot of time talking about Carl Nassib earlier today. It's a huge, huge story. Where I thought we were going to spend most of the night tonight, well, number one, talking about how I picked the Hawks to go to the Eastern Conference Finals before the season, and I predicted they would play the Bucks, and that's happening. But I really thought we were going to spend more time talking about Tom Brady and who's the MF-er he's talking about.
Well, the night just started, so let's go!
So earlier today, what went out in a teaser for HBO's Barbershop, Tom Brady, other players being interviewed, Chelsea Handler is doing the interviewing, and Draymond Green is talking about his career, and Tom Brady is as well. This little teaser was put out there, and it's Brady telling a story about his free agency in the past offseason and about one team in particular that wasn't interested in signing him. And here's the money quote.
One of the teams, they weren't interested at the very end. I was thinking, you're sticking with that mother.
Sounded like they had a capacity crowd.
Oh, Tom Brady's got to the IDGAF part of his career. It's like, you know what? I really don't care anymore. You know, I was a great teammate. I was a great quarterback. And where did that get me? I had to leave New England because my head coach, who I didn't rip publicly, even though I disagree with him, all these things happened. They still wound up pushing me out. So you know what? I don't care anymore. I only got a couple of years left. So now I don't like you and you and you and you and blank you and blank you and blank you. Brady just doesn't care anymore. I'm just going to say whatever I want to say about whoever else. So now you get the whole, you're going to stick with that mother blanker over me. This is the new Tom Brady. And we're going to get this now probably in some sort of regular intervals for the rest of his career.
No, I dig this. This is the guy you need to be. And certainly at the end of your career, why not? You bottled it up for 20 years. And now it's time to think about what the next steps are. And you can do this without repercussion. Because you're the GOAT. I mean, you're just like, hey, what are you going to do? Tell me I didn't succeed? And just laugh like a mat, just like that studio audience was. Or everybody that was sitting around going, yeah, you're funny. You know, you're funny. You're a funny guy. So you have that going for you, that you can always just be like, well, you don't like it? You know, I don't really care. And eventually he's got to figure out beyond the TB12 business. Right, because that was the other story that was circulating at the end of the week and into the weekend. Even he's saying, well, me playing to 50, I don't know about that. So he recognizes the finish line is there in the not too distant future while he's working with Trask the way he is. And that's a benefit to the squad. And the fact that he was helping to scout wide receivers ahead of the draft and all of those things you're trying to figure out what the life is post quarterback. So why not just say what's on your mind? You're in amongst very highly successful people in that room as well. So they all recognize greatness because they're also looking in the mirror and patting themselves on the back too.
You know, because it's kind of like, before we get to who he could have been talking about, because I have it down to a couple of candidates here,
yeah.
Is that it's like, you know, everybody gets to that point in their lives where they get, you know what, I really just don't care anymore. I'm not going to hold my tongue. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say whatever I want to say. And, you know, my dad is at that point in his life now, which is why he tells me every day, hey, what happened? I went to Pavilions, which grocery store. What happened? I got in an argument with this guy. I'm like, okay. And then he comes over the next day. Hey, what happened? I went to Roger Dunn Golf Shop. What happened? I got in an argument with this guy. I'm like, Dad. Dad, what happened? Well, you know, I wanted to get up there. I had to ask a question. He's on the phone. He doesn't ask me what's going on. And so I say, hey, can you get off the phone? Get off the phone. I got a question. Can you get off the phone? I got a question. And I'm like, Dad, you got to watch out. But everybody gets to that point in their lives. You know, I just don't care anymore. And I'm going to say things that I want to say. And honestly, as a radio host, I felt that that's really helped me because early on in my career coming up at ESPN was always, you know, don't say this. Don't go too crazy saying this or saying this. You want to say something here. And they almost wanted you to be in a box where, you know, really strong opinions they didn't like. You know, it's like, well, you can be, but don't say anything. Don't say this team is really awful. Don't say they suck or there's certain things like, wow. And I remember getting to Fox again to the point where like, you know what? I'm at the IDGAF part of my career now where, you know, as long as I protect the brand, I say, you know, I'm responsible with what I say and I back things up because there's reasons why I say certain things I say. Yeah, there's no reason why I can't be at that part of my career, you know, and it's made me a better radio host. Understand that, you know what? I don't need to worry about saying this team sucks. This guy's terrible. This guy stinks. You know, it's, ooh, don't say that. Don't say that. No, I don't care anymore. I'm going to say a guy stinks. When Ben Simmons stinks, he stinks. When he really stinks, he stinks. I'm going to say it because he did. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, you know, Ben Simmons, I don't know. You want a great point? You want a great story? Here's a great story before we get into this because this is great. So I was hosting one time at ESPN. I was hosting the post-game show of the NBA Finals on ESPN Radio. Right. And it was okay. And it was the time that went from the end of the game until when my show would begin, which was 11 o'clock, right, on the East Coast. And so I was like, all right, great. Or 11 o'clock in the West Coast, sorry. So it's 11 o'clock. So I'm like, all right, great. So I remember coming off the Celtics and the Lakers, the first NBA Finals when the Celtics won. And I was hosting. And my boss came in to me and he says, okay, so this is a big deal. Okay, yes, I understand. He goes, one thing I want to tell you, you know, for this, the show's going to probably be about 20, 25 minutes long. I said, okay. He goes, no opinions. And I said, what? He said, no opinions. I said, what do you mean no opinions? He goes, no opinions. You know, you're going to break down the game and talk about it, but no opinions. I go, so I can't. So if someone shoots 5 for 23, I can't say they were terrible tonight. No opinions. I said, so what am I going to say? Boy, so-and-so really struggled tonight. Boy, you know, maybe tomorrow's a better day.
You can't say struggle.
You're kidding. He goes, no opinions. I go, what the hell am I going to say if I can't give my opinion? You're really telling me no opinions. Swear to God, this is a true story. And I'm like, what am I going to say? What am I going to say for 25 minutes? Hey, here's the box score. Kobe Bryant scored 32 points. He was 6 out of 15 from the field. No, you're not in a normal night for Kobe, but he still had 3 threes, but it wasn't enough. The Celtics play. I mean, what do you want me to say?
Well, you wouldn't be the
say?
First guy to do that for 15 minutes
goodness.
At a time.
I'm like you actually told me no opinions. No, and I'm like, what am I going to say? And it went from being something I was excited to do to something that I just going to want to be done with it and get to my show so I can say, hey, so-and-so stunk. All right, this guy was bad. This was a word. This is a bad thing. Anything was no opinions. So I'm like, you've got to be kidding me, man. Really? No opinions? So, you know, that's just the backdrop. You know, here's Brady who's going through the whole thing. You know, his whole life has been, I'm going to say the right things because I, you know, as much as I don't get along well with Bill Belichick and I would like things to be different. I would like to be consulted. I would like to be someone that they want to keep around. That didn't really get me anywhere. At the end of 20 years with them, they still wanted to push me out the door, so I'm not going to do it anymore. And this has made Tom Brady much more interesting. You know, I mean, look, he just gave us 3 weeks, Mike, of, you know, my knee really was bothering me last year. It's why I wasn't so great the first 13 weeks of the season. Yeah, okay, I saw it. No, but then there's another story. Just so you know, there's another story, somebody else saying his knee really was bothering him last year and he had to get it taken care of. Okay, that's great. He's fine.
fine now, but he just got it taken care of. It's like a week would go by and we would get Tom Brady's knee really bothered him. So, but this part of Brady is like, okay, this type of Brady I'd like to have for 20 years. You know, telling the truth about things, saying all this, and saying, you're going to keep that MF-er over me. Sometimes being able to just give your opinion and not have to worry about what people think about it is very liberating. And he has taken that to the next level. It's like, okay, I don't really care anymore. I'm going to say what I want to say about Gronk, about you. I'm going to go party and I'm going to be carried off the boat because I've had a little too much avocado tequila. I don't care anymore, man. I don't give a crap. I just won the Super Bowl again. This is great. And I guarantee you, he's saying to himself right now, if I could have just done this 10 years ago, how much more fun would I have had in my career? Because winning is fun and being able to achieve is fun. You get your joy out of the game, but boy, everything else that surrounded it, how much more fun would that have been for Brady if this was who he was or who he was allowed to be for like the last 10 or 12 years?
Well, he also, you know, agreed to it. Sometimes you have rules, not only to your employment, but to keeping a locker room happy, right? To keeping those relationships, whether they really ever had a personal relationship to speak of, he and Belichick, it never got in the way of the professional side by biting his tongue and kind of going along with the flow. So, you know, there's you make a business decision. It's kind of like a Derrick Henry's running at you and you're a cornerback. You got to decide, am I going to try to take this on? Or am I going to do an Ole tackling maneuver? Or are we really doing this? And how many times do you see a guy go, you know what, I just couldn't wrap him up? You know, they come up, look, I went high. What am I going to do? And he plants you. So it's the same thing, right? You make your you in your ESPN days, you would have to make the business choice. Am I at a point in my career where I'm not worried, A, about getting another job, B, I've got some money in the bank, and C, I'm not going to go catch hell when I get home. Because you know, that's part three to all of this as you go. So for Tom Brady, look, let's just celebrate that we have it now. I don't know how long it is. I don't know what his next career is going to be. Is it just going to be speeches and TED Talks? And no, my hope is that he's front and center, and not that he's a coach, but that he gets in line for the gravy train of sitting in a booth and giving us some quips. Think of the stories he could tell.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show. Those stories would be, they'd be legendary. Legendary, Mike.
Making legendary. Fun of the Jets. Yeah, and I remember when we were going to play this guy. Let's go back. This was 2006. I mean, he's got a lot of Jets stories, I'm sure. So, sorry about that.
But as far as Brady, all right, who it could possibly be? Right. I got it down to this. Like, if you're saying what's the percentage chance when he says you're going to stick with that MF-er over me, there's a small part, maybe 10%, that he was talking about Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears. But really, did he really want to go to the Bears? I didn't see the Bears as one of those big destinations at the end of the season for him. So maybe a little bit of it, because clearly when you say you're going to stick with Trubisky over Tom Brady.
Well, but a good defense.
Yeah, sure.
Playoff team now, two of the last 3 years, Allen Robinson and... I don't know. Potentially, I would give it a small sliver of the likelihood pie.
But I would say the three people it could be. Two of them you're going to say, okay. They're going to say, whoa. I would say Jimmy Garoppolo clearly had a lot of evidence on it because he wanted to go to San Francisco. And you know, Brady has a bit of, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo, not envy, but I had to get him pushed out because Bill Belichick wanted him over me, and now I got to prove this point. And now you'd rather go with Jimmy Garoppolo than me, so I think Garoppolo clearly isn't at the top of the leaderboard there. We talked to Jason Lockenfora, who said he said probably the Chargers, who said, we're not in, we know they were in on Brady near the end, and then they kind of passed on him thinking we have Tyrod Taylor, but we know we're going to get a guy in the draft. But at that point, it was just Tyrod Taylor, so I can see Brady saying, you're going to stick with that guy over me, really? But the other guy that's right in that mix, I guarantee you it didn't happen, but I guarantee you the other guy was Daniel Jones. Brady wanted to go to New York. He wanted to own he's going to the number one media market. The Giants would have had him in a second, and clearly that would have been his second home. He would have been able to increase his empire even bigger. But when it came down to it, the Giants, even though they were in it a little bit, weren't in it at the very, very end. But clearly, Daniel Jones over me, you're going to stick with that guy over me? So I'm going to say one of those three guys between Garoppolo, Tyrod Taylor, Daniel Jones. That's who it was he was talking about.
I'll give you a couple more. One, Scott Zolak out there in Boston hypothesized that it could have been Tennessee.
Okay. I thought you were going to say Scott Zolak said, no, no, it's not.
No, no,
were
I mean.
Would Scott Zolak over me?
No. I hypothesized that perhaps it was over Tannehill there in Tennessee and the team that he had left that went and hired Ryan Fitzpatrick instead, the Miami Dolphins, staying in division. Mm. And then certainly for the fun of this show, Sam Darnold, really? Really? Mm. Come on, we saw enough. I should be the guy there. So that's the beauty of the turnover. Not that I want anybody to lose their job, quarterback, coach, whatever. But it allows for wild speculation, and who knows? Maybe the first day of training camp. So, do you think Tom Brady was talking about you? Response.
You talking about me? We talking about you? Everybody's asking themselves. Was he talking about me? Was he talking about me? Was it 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 me? Could have been you, Mike Harmon. Could have been talking about you.
Well, I have no doubt. Look, I've got about 10 years, I think, until I have my insert acronym here moment, because I got to create my own. I got to be able to brand it when I go to the I'm just going to say whatever the hell I want, because I clearly have not ventured far enough into hot take nonsense at this point in my career. I still come, I think, too logically oftentimes for my own good.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week, explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Marquee game of the night in Major League Baseball right now. The Padres lead the Dodgers 6-1. Dodgers batting in the top of the 7th. They have two on with two out. They've had runners on base tonight, but have not been able to punch it through. Padres getting 4 runs in the first off of Julio Urias, and so this is where we sit right now. The best new rivalry in baseball. The Padres in the driver's seat, up 6-1 as the Dodgers bat in the 7th inning.
And Yu Darvish setting records.
Look at Yu Darvish. They checked him. He was fine. They're checking all the pitchers. Everybody is fine. And Yu Darvish is just not the guy he was in 2017 anymore.
Fastest to 1,500 Ks in Major League history.
Mm. Yeah, it's only because DeGrom's not there yet. Just got to give DeGrom a little while longer. Just give him a little while longer. It's all good.
Just keep duct taping them together, buddy.
That's right. You know, and here's the thing, honestly, about Jacob DeGrom, right? So today, Jacob DeGrom pitches the first game of a doubleheader for the Mets, and he becomes the first player to be checked under Major League Baseball's new rules of you can't load up the baseball. They were going to check all the pitchers, and this is how it was going to be. Today was the first day. The Mets played a doubleheader, and he pitched great in the first game, 5 innings, no runs, 1 hit. He was typical DeGrom. He lowered his ERA to 0.50, and DeGrom was the first one. After the first inning happened, the umpires came out, as they're doing with all the pitchers now, checking them after the first inning. They checked his glove, checked his belt. He smiled, gave his glove, everything else. He was clean, and he comes back and pitches the rest of the game like nothing went on. And I got to be honest, Mike, because this is something that I can't believe actually happened until today or in the past week, is it took this long for there to be some kind of what is Jacob DeGrom doing that he wasn't doing in the past, right? Because I'm surprised that he hasn't been accused of cheating before now, because DeGrom has been someone who has always been a really good pitcher, right? He started out as a shortstop at Stetson in college, and then he changed his position, and he really rocketed up through the Mets minor league system pretty fast. He comes in, and he wins Game 5 on the road for the Mets against the Dodgers in the 2015 playoffs. You can tell then you knew he was going to be really special, but what he's been doing this last couple of seasons, and now this season, is otherworldly, right? The guy's got 2 Cy Youngs. He finished 3rd last year, and now here he is throwing 100 miles an hour.
when he wasn't throwing 100 miles an hour earlier in his career. Now, again, he didn't come up till he was 26 years old, and he's 33 now. So that's something that, all right, well, maybe he's figuring out how to be a pitcher, and he's hitting his stride a little bit later. But still, when you're throwing that hard and you're this dominant, I'm stunned. No one had the is DeGrom cheating questions before now. Up until
but here's
ago,
the thing, they might have
looking at his belt. No, but
they might have. But here's the problem: as soon as you open that can of worms, all the dirt. I mean, everybody knows it's a small community. Everybody knows what's going on. Becomes the, well, your guy. And then you get battles on the field and a lot of talking behind it, which is fun for us, but I don't think they want the discomfort. The ability of Major League Baseball to say, we're going to check everybody, gets a lot of these guys. And with advance warning, right, no spot checks, as you alluded to earlier, it's like the drug testing policy that they've had in place all these years in the National Football League. You know right about when your marijuana test is going to be. Not that, you know, that's going to be a thing going forward, but you always knew, so you could plan accordingly. Likewise, for Major League Baseball, it's like, on Monday, we're going to enforce it. It's the Simpsons. When I nod my head and stamp on your foot and say, good morning, Mr. Thompson, that's where we're at. So everybody was well aware, and to make sure they didn't single your guy out, everybody covering Major League Baseball has gone out of their way to show, look, here they are, the policies and procedures. It's like all the BS PSI testings after the Tom Brady Deflategate nonsense. And then after about a week, you ever see one in a box score or a write-up? Hell no, because nobody gave a damn.
I think he's talking to you. But you know, that's the whole thing is that, you know, when you look at DeGrom as a microcosm, right? I'm stunned no one talked about it before. We had the video about 10 days ago of, oh, he touched his belt after a strikeout. What is it? And, you know, clearly, look, today he went, everything was clean. He pitched great. I'm really surprised that it's taken till now for DeGrom just because of watching his rise go the way it is. But when you diagram how Major League Baseball is dealing with this situation, it's really genius because they're dealing with it in a way that makes it seem like they're dealing with it, but they're really not. Right? Because look, as we illustrated, they're telling us we're going to check the starting pitchers after the first inning. So obviously, hey, don't be stupid. Don't go out there with sticky stuff on your hands in the first inning. And in subsequent innings, don't have us have to come back to you with, hey, this ball is really loaded up, because then we'll check you again and you'll be out of the game. So what they want to happen is they want all the pitchers, when they check for the first time, to be clean. Right? They're checking the pitchers after the first inning and relievers when they come in the game. Okay, and as long as you're not stupid, and we're telling you this, Major League Baseball pitchers, so you're not stupid, don't get caught when you come to the game with sticky stuff. So already, what happens is what? All fans are checking this out, what's going to happen, and umpires aren't catching anybody. So we think, okay, they've figured out their way, they're not using the sticky stuff anymore. Meanwhile, some of them are using the sticky stuff, they'll go back to it in later innings, long as they're not out of control with it. And that's
There's
what
no
baseball
question.
Wanted. Right, but baseball just says, just don't go out of control with this. Just don't make it out of control, we have to wind up suspending you, and we'll be able to take care of this in a couple of weeks. So now that the pitchers know when they're going to be searched, and as long as you're not over the top with it, this will be a story that goes for a couple of weeks and then it goes away. Baseball doesn't want to catch anybody. They don't want to catch anybody because it looks awful for the game if everybody's loading up the baseball and this is how I'm winning. They don't want to catch anyone. So I'd be surprised if they can. If they catch anybody, you're stupid because they're looking, oh, I shouldn't have done it. You're stupid. But that's how baseball wants to handle this, and that's how it's going to work. It looks like we're on top of it, but we're really letting you know, hey, this is when we're going to examine you. So don't have stuff on your hands. All right, great. Then if I want to go back to it, I'm not over the top, and I can still figure out a happy medium with it. And in 2 weeks, this won't be a story. And we're going to move on from this, and baseball has figured things out. And in the end, they're hopeful to get some more runs on the board because pitchers will use a little bit less sticky stuff, so maybe they'll have a little bit less ability to make the ball do what they want to do, and we get more hits out of it. And that's all that Major League Baseball is hoping for, that by the time we get to the 4th of July weekend, there's more runs being scored than the whole doom and gloom of baseball with, oh, the pitchers are dominating.
you know, that's going to go by the wayside. So everything is going great for Major League Baseball right now, because how they're doing it, they want to do it by just kind of doing it. It's genius. It's absolute genius.
Well, I would love also to see trucks pull up at every Major League Baseball stadium, and on a giant stack, a couple of pallets worth maybe of baseballs, a card from the Office of Commissioner. Let's get this game started. All new baseballs, baby. All new and ready like the Super Bowls we remember. And that'll solve that too. Because, you know, saying, hey, hitting coaches, managers, get with your guys and go back to fundamentals and change your approach to combat what pitchers are doing. Nah, that's too easy.
That's just what they'll be expecting us to do. We can't.
They'll
do
never
that.
Go for that. That's work.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon. Now, meanwhile, today, once we started the day, we thought this was going to be the big story of the day, and then certain things happened. We had the Carl Nassib storyline, now Major League Baseball's checking people. But earlier today, a huge victory for college athletes who want to get paid. As a Supreme Court of the United States unanimously affirmed a ruling that provides for an incremental increase in how college athletes can be compensated. It also helps open the door to future legal challenges that could really just blow up the NCAA model as it is right now. But basically, the Supreme Court votes 9-0 against the NCAA and says, listen, players can be paid, they can be compensated better than the model that's out there right
well,
now.
Well, this is about educational-related expenses. That's,
yes.
That nice which nebulous is, terms, which isn't
yes,
the same
kinda,
as getting paid.
Right, but it opens the door to somehow find a way to get paid.
There's another
you
fight.
You find
exactly.
a way for it. Yeah. Now, the two biggest things of this is, one is, how often do you see the Supreme Court 9-0 on something? I mean, never, right? It's never.
No.
And to see everybody, you know, Republicans, Democrats across the board go, this is the worst thing, and college sports should be ashamed of this. I'm going, wow, this is amazing. We can cross party lines if we want to. It's 9-0. I guarantee you the NCAA goes, we lost 9-0. I mean, it wasn't 5-4. It wasn't where we just lost it. No, we lost 9-0. Wow, that's like we were facing DeGrom today, man. I can't believe that. So you never see that. But now that this happens, all I can think of is that how greedy college got and the NCAA got that no, we're gonna push against this all the way through, even when we see that we don't have the room anymore. All right, we used to have all the support in the world that college athletes get a scholarship, they get exposure, they get all these things, they get treated really well. They get a value of a scholarship to university that's anywhere between $80,000 and $150,000 value for a year. All these things they get. But when they saw they started to lose, instead of saying, okay, you know what? Let's open the door and figure something out. They decided to go all the way to the wall. Nope, we're not going to let these kids get paid. And number one, that lost a lot of support, because if you would at least come a little bit towards them and said, okay, let's try to figure something out. Okay, then it would have been a little bit more manageable. But instead, they went the other way to, no, we're not doing it. It goes all the way to Supreme Court and they lost. And now the door is open for so much. And all I can do is say, you know what? The NCAA, clearly, they need leadership, better leadership more than any other entity, because they can't get on the same page for the college football playoff, for NCAA tournament things. And here they are. They lost this when clearly they saw the train is coming down the tunnel. You're going to lose. No, no, no. We're going to keep pushing. No, you're going to lose. Figure out how to lose the best way possible. No, now the door is wide open, right? And Jim Boeheim actually said the best thing today that I read about it was that, you know, he said, well, now that they're open, now the question is going to be about compensation. And they said, what do you mean? And he said, well, let's say a kid gets a chance to do a car commercial, right? Can he get paid $50,000 for it? Or is it $20,000? Or is it $5,000? Like, what's that money going to be? You know, so now we're haggling about what the number's going to be. But the door is now open for all of this to happen. And the NCAA could have controlled it more. They could have figured out incremental increases, given the players a little bit something. But because they decided to say, no, we're doubling down on a losing hand, this is where they're at. So it's their fault. I'm I'm happy for the players that they won, because now the guys that are really getting taken advantage of are going to get to make some money in college, and that's great. The guys that they're selling their jerseys and their likenesses, all the big superstars, they should be getting more money. The Cade Cunningham should be getting more money. The Zion Williamson should be getting money because they're carrying the game. And clearly, college sports are banking in and cashing in on these players. So I'm glad that they're getting that. But boy, I just look at the NCAA and I go, you just completely blew this. You saw how this was going to end. You still said, nope, we're going to play this losing hand.
I'm trying to figure out which actor to attribute this to. But you know the gif that goes around where you kind of slide towards the table and then you put your head in your hands, like, and you start, you know, blinking your eyes really fast, like, okay, entertain me, I'm intrigued. That's where this led today, because there's so many offshoots of this when you go into the antitrust rulings and tax exemptions, and do they become employees, thereby this stuff becomes taxable, which is a whole other world, And if you want to, then you start extrapolating into other places and institutions that are tax exempt when you start getting into religion and nonprofits and whatever else. Like, there's all sorts of other stuff that starts to get put into this vortex as well. But yeah, name, image, and likeness, certainly, while it's going to be a positive, it's also going to change the game, and maybe you have even a bigger chasm, right? Everybody always complains, only these four teams, you know, does it really work for in terms of winning? Is that going to hurt that, or is it going to make it more open? I don't know, because being associated with the top brand, like a winning program in Alabama, is still going to have more cachet than being the number one guy. And I'll let you pick directional school here. No offense to anybody across the nation listening, and we appreciate and love you all that went to or is at a directional college right now. But we use that as the catch-all for you're not one of the heavyweights. Right, it's like being a mid-major in college buckets. I guess the same idea. So we'll see how that starts to flow. But Boeheim's question is also one that I think is fair. Of are there limits going to be on this, or is it unlimited? You know, what's Title IX and how that plays in? What about the non-revenue sports? What does it all mean in terms of how you treat it equitably? But yes, getting everybody to agree, including Judge Thomas and Kavanaugh. I mean, how many times did you see the "I like beer" meme passing your headlines? So yeah, unanimous. I'd love to have been in the room as this was discussed, because I don't think there's ever been in recent memory. This cannot stand kind of moment.